Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
You guys can grab your seats. Thanks so much. Oh, Jesus, your presence. There is nothing like your presence. And God, I come before you today. And I throw myself again on your mercy. God, I'm not worthy. But God, I thank you in my weakness. You are strong. God, I ask tonight, Lord, that you would show yourself strong again. I thank you that you love those who come in low. And God, I don't presume anything in your presence. I don't presume anything, but God, I come humbly before you again. And I'm asking, would you reveal yourself again to us? I thank you for what you're already doing. I thank you for how you've ministered and you've loved upon your kids as they have worshipped you and adored you. But God, as we come to your word, your holy word, your word that sustains us, I ask, Lord Jesus, that this would be a holy moment. God, I ask that we would have a revelation of what it would have been like for Moses as he saw the burning bush and stood on holy ground. God, I'm asking, Lord, in the midst right now, we throw ourselves before you in mercy and asking for mercy. God, we do not deserve any of this. This is your platform, this is your church, this is your bride. I thank you, God, we don't need to defend your bride. We don't need to pump your bride up. But Jesus, we come before you humbly. We come before you low. You are Lord, no one else. You are God, no one else. There is none like you. I ask, Lord, that whatever it is that I have planned, whatever it is that you have spoken to me to communicate to your precious people, I ask, Lord, that you would lead me and guide me in these moments. God, that we would be so aware of you. I thank you for your kindness that even when we step out, not even knowing that we've stepped out of line, you kindly bring us back. You invite us back. I ask, Holy Spirit, come and do what you do best. Make us more like Jesus. Make us more like Jesus. You know, I've been thinking a bit in this season that it's interesting to see as, I mean, let's be honest here tonight, there's things that have been going on right here in this church. And it's interesting to see the response of people and I get it affects us all in many different ways. But I've just felt in myself such a reverence for his bride. I don't need to defend his bride. The bridegroom will defend the bride. I don't need to do that. That's not my role. My role is to be the bride, to look at him. He is my source. He is my portion. He's the one that makes crooked paths straight again. He's the one that restores my soul. And this has nothing to do with my message, but I just feel to say, hey, every time you have an unction or a need to try and defend something about his bride, just let him do it, because he'll do a far better job than you or I ever will. If you got your Bible, why don't you turn to Mark chapter 4. Can I get a little bit less in my wedge, because I'm going to get a fair bit louder at some points and I can already hear it starting to ring. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, says this: On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" Can I just get a tissue? I feel like I'm going to run everywhere in a moment. And thank you so much, Pelle. I want to speak on the subject tonight: storms, troubles, peace, and sleep. Storm, troubles, peace, and sleep. Does anyone like sleep? Oh, such a good thing. A little while ago, actually a fair while ago now, but we were at my in-law's house and there was this incredible storm that had kind of come across. And I like watching storms. I like sitting on a veranda at a distance, seeing a storm come in and hearing the rain hit a cast iron roof, not cast iron, a tin roof. Cast iron, that's a different sound. But I love listening to it. I love seeing the light display and then waiting for the crack of the thunder. And I love seeing it. And I don't know if you've ever done it before, but maybe you see that show on Netflix or something of the storm chasers, and they go chasing after tornadoes and all that sort of thing. And it's great to be able to see a storm as it kind of rolls in and you're sitting there and it's nice and safe, but it's a whole different other thing when you're in the midst of the storm. On this particular day, my brother-in-law was driving home and heading home, and the storm had rolled in. My sister-in-law and my nephews had already headed home, and he was on his way home. And all of a sudden, he's heading home, and he gets home, and then he FaceTimes and rings us. And on the way home, as he was driving, just on the way, he was driving along the road, then all of a sudden, literally about 5 to 10 meters away, just off the side of the road, there was this massive tree, and this bolt of lightning came down and hit the tree. He said, as he was talking, like, he nearly lost all bodily function. The car was like swerving because he literally jumped and felt the electricity run through the ground underneath him. It scared the pants off him. Almost literally. He was reciting, like, he was shaking under the fear of what the storm had, the encounter that he'd had in the storm. We all love and hear these, you know, seeing a storm and stuff, but this storm affected him. You know, storms in our life, they will affect us. They will. Sometimes it's easy from a distance that we see a storm coming in, or maybe somebody else's storm, and it's okay because we're okay. Like, we're a little bit removed from it and we can kind of see a little bit, and that's all fine. But it's a whole nother story when you are in the midst of a storm. We've all got storms in our life. Some of them are big storms, some of them are small storms, some of them are all everything in between. But we will all go through different storms. Why? Because storms are actually inevitable in life. They come. Jesus actually said in the Gospel of John, he said that there will be times of trouble and tribulation that you will come into. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, I'm preparing you so that you understand something. There are going to be moments in your life that really suck. But it's okay, because I've overcome it. You've got a way of escape. You've got someone else who's right there in the midst of it. We will all encounter storms in our life, but we can never forget that Jesus is always right there with you and with me. What I've come to realize is that there are usually two types of storms that all of us will come into contact with at some point in our life. The first kind of storm is a storm of our own making. You ever been there before? You made a decision and that has led to a consequence that now you're in a stormy moment, a stormy season. It's a storm of your own making. Oh, you guys are all looking at me like you're so spiritual. I know, I've been in many times. And to varying degrees of storm, like a category 5 where I'm like, oh no. We've all been there. A storm of our own making. Because there is this thing inside of us that we want what we want. We like to control things. We like to order things in a particular way. And when something doesn't quite go right, then we try to get our hands in and try and control that too. Or is it just me? There are storms of our own making. And actually, that kind of storm is actually the easiest storm to deal with. Because it only requires one thing. Repentance. It actually only requires us humbly coming before God and saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I thought I knew better. I'm sorry I thought that I knew the right way. I'm sorry that I felt to do what I wanted to do. I am sorry. The Bible says that the moment that that happens, grace and mercy comes running into you. It calms the storm. Now, there is always a process of things that when a storm happens, usually you're not the only one who's affected by the storm, but there are other people that are also affected by the storm that you've created. It's a really wise thing that you go and clean that up. But that's one kind of storm. The other kind of storm is actually the storm of testing. And this kind of storm is actually a little bit more difficult to actually go through and walk through and be sustained. Why? Because it's not a storm of your own doing. Typically, it's a storm that is actually building something in you that you never wished you had to go through, you never actually intended to actually or caused to happen. It is a storm that actually comes about as a form of a test of what are you going to do right now? What do I mean? A word comes, prophetic word comes. You're going to do whatever it may be. It could be, you know, you're going to have children. You're going to do this, you're going to do that. And all of a sudden, there is a storm that comes, a storm of testing, that you receive the word, but there is a time of testing before you will see the reality of that word that has been said. The Bible actually says in Matthew that the parable of the sower and the seed says that the issues and the storm came because of the word. So in other words, the word comes, I receive the word, I receive the promise, I receive what God has intended and planned for me since I was born in my mother's womb, all of that sort of thing. It's there, it's ready. But there is a testing point of what am I going to do with that word between where I am and the fulfillment of it. And this entire thing is actually set up in the very beginning of the Bible. If you go back to Genesis, God creates in Eden and he sets before mankind two kinds of trees, two trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which they are not to partake of, and the tree of life. The tree of life is the word that they are to live by. It sustains them. It propels them into their destiny. The tree of knowledge represents, well, God, you said this, but circumstances say that, so I know better of how to fix from where I am to where I need to be. And there is this time, this storm of testing that every single one of us must go through to navigate the promise of the Lord that's over our life. Which of the two are you going to trust in more? The word that the Lord has said, or the environment of the testing that you are in? Because they're both real. And what you do in the testing determines what reality you're going to live in. Am I going to live in the reality of my circumstance and the testing of the storm, or am I actually going to live in the reality of the promise that God tailor-made for me before the beginning of the age? We find ourselves in different seasons in many different storms. Corporately, we are in one of those testing storms. The question, and even the length of the storm, is related to what are you placing your trust in right now? Do you trust His word? Do you trust His leading? Do you trust His guiding? Or are the circumstances that are around about affecting what's going on and what you lean into and trust the most? As we think about this, there are kind of three things that I want to talk a little bit and speak into. As we navigate the season of the storm between where the promise is and the fulfillment of it. Where the storm that we're in at the moment, and this can be in a variety of different ways in your world, between where we are and where God's called us to be. See, the storm can sometimes dictate our behavior and our response, or better yet, our reaction. Because when storms get intense and you're in the midst of it, like you're doing everything you can to get cover. Like you are reacting to the storm around about you. There is things that are going on around about that can cause you to react. But that behavior or that reaction doesn't necessarily lead to the kind of fruit that God's trying to produce in you. Sometimes we actually lengthen the storm because we allow the circumstances of the storm to keep dictating, I don't know which way's up. And we freeze in the midst of it because fear grabs a hold of us. So what do we do in the storm? What do we do in the midst of the storm? I'd like to propose that one of the key things that we need to do is we need to keep moving forward. You need to keep moving forward. You need to keep moving forward. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying like you need to ignore the circumstances that you're in and just put on a big stiff upper lip and just plow through that. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying the goal is to keep moving forward. Whether that means you're crawling or whether that means you're running, the goal is to move forward. The psalmist wrote this, said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil because you're with me. We're never meant to be stuck or camp in the valley. We're actually supposed to walk through it. And sometimes in some seasons, walking is the best that we can do. In other seasons, crawling is the best that we can do. That's okay. Why? Because he's with you. As you look at this particular scripture, Jesus has just come from what I call the parable conference. He's been sharing the parables to a whole group of people. And that was my joke. It's obviously not that funny. Try again. And so he's been sharing all of the parables. And then in verse 35, he all of a sudden says, let us go. See, the parables were about, they were giving an insight into the kingdom that he came to establish. It's like he's communicating to a bunch of people about, hey, the kingdom of God is coming and it's coming for you right now, so get ready. And in my mind, in any thinking, after the parables, and the next step would be, okay, now we're actually going to see the kingdom advance. So why is it that he went on? Why did he get in a boat and go across to the other side? Well, if you read on in chapter 5, it's because there's a man that is under severe demonic attack by a legion. And as he gets to the other side, ministers freedom to him, and that one miracle sets an entire town free. Could it be that if he had stayed longer than the Holy Spirit had allowed him to, an entire city would have missed out on the power and the majesty of the king? See, sometimes we actually think we've got it worked out. We know how God's going to move. We know what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And I'm all for planning, organizing, series. If we do that, like, I'm all for it. I'm all with it. But here's the thing. We can't allow those plans, those series, those things to lock us into something that the Holy Spirit's not actually in. You can't actually go, okay, Holy Spirit, this is how you're going to move. You have no ability to do that. And the moment that you try is the moment everything becomes a lot harder. Because you've moved out of the slipstream of the anointing and the flow of heaven and into your own man-made gifts and talents, and that's all you've got to rely on. I worked out really quickly. Like, I'm not that talented. There are a lot of other people that are a lot more gifted than me. But also, I'm not stupid. Because if I connect with him, he will do far more than I could ever exceedingly think or imagine. Like, all I need to do, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Is there anything that I'm doing right now that is hindering your ability to move right now? The Bible says that Jesus himself was limited to the point where he only did what the Holy Spirit led him to do. We're talking the Son of God, limiting himself to, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Can I tell you that you, in all of your weaknesses, in all of your giftings, in all of your talents will do far more when you are connected and in tune with Him than you will ever do with your gifting and your talent. There will always be someone that's more gifted than you. There will always be a better preacher than you. There'll always be a better business person than you. I'm sorry to break it to you, but here's the thing. You're actually there to partner with Him. It's His kingdom come. His will be done, not mine. So as we're going through stormy seasons in life and as we're going through things of testing, the question is, am I going to try and control this? Oh, God, yep, I know what you're going to do. I've seen this before. Can I tell you how many times I have been praying for people and someone comes about healing? And oh, yep, I know how to pray for that one. And the moment that thought comes, I'm like, oh, that's right. It's not my prayer that actually, it's not my method that makes this happen. It's you turning up. Okay, God, can you come and turn up, please? Like, please? I'm going to look really silly here. Like, even the way we pray, you think about that naturally. If you just did that by yourself, it looks a little silly. Think with me here. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere. I sometimes think that we actually have perfected this way of doing things. You know how arrogant that is? Like, please hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying we don't need to plan and give feedback and work on our gifts and steward. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying sometimes actually not knowing what to do is actually okay. Because it causes you to lean into Him. Causes you to go, okay, look, God, if you don't show up here, I got nothing. I don't know. I could give Him my shoes maybe. I don't know. See, the question is, what are we going to do in the midst of the storm? How are we? Sometimes it's just a matter of keep moving forward. The other thing I think we need to think about is actually in the midst of the storm is the very moment that we actually need to slow down time. In the midst of a storm is actually when you need to slow down. You know, in our bodies, we have this amazing thing that's been put in us to really protect us and preserve our life. It's the fight or flight mechanism. Essentially, we sense an issue coming our way and adrenaline hits us to protect ourselves or to basically run for as far as we can, for as long as we can and hope that everything, that we outrun whatever we're fearful of, right? This naturally kicks in. Not only does that adrenaline hit our muscles, but it also hits our brain and our thinking. Like, it can't have one without the other. And so all of a sudden you can find yourself in a storm and all of a sudden you are thinking about what happens if this happens. And already, without even thinking, like, in no time spared, you're already down the third or fourth option of what might happen or what could happen, and you're starting to freak out. Or am I the only person that does that? 2 weeks ago, I woke up and the Lord spoke to me. He said, Dave, I need you to slow down time. I'm like, are you talking literally? Because I don't know how to do that. No. You need to slow down time. I'm like, okay, what do you mean by that? He says, David, I've given you enough grace for today and the things that you're going to face today. So don't bother worrying about the next day. Don't try and figure out the next day's things. Just, I've given you grace for today. Just stay there. Just do that. Oh, okay. Sometimes in our ability, and even if I'm honest, in our gifting of strategic thinking and leadership and all this sort of stuff, we go, okay, I know I'll do A, B, C, D, and it will all come together really nicely. No, actually, you're moving outside of the grace that God's got on your life. You actually just need to stay with A. in the midst of this certain season that the disciples are facing, it says that in verse 39, Jesus stands up and he commands. He says, "Peace, be still." He says, "Peace, be still." In the midst of what is happening in the moment, what is the ruling environment internally as he gets up? Mind you, he's been asleep in a boat that's full of water. And he gets up, and out of that place, he does not allow the environment around about him to dictate the environment within him. The environment within him is so strong that as he speaks, the environment on the outside starts to reflect the environment on the inside. I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life where the environment on the outside has actually affected the environment on the inside of me, not the other way around. That the peace, he was so in tune with the Holy Spirit, had so much of the fruit of the Spirit, peace in his life, that he could sleep in the midst. We're talking professional sailmen, professional fishermen, sailmen, fishermen. You get what I'm saying? And in the midst of this storm, that I guarantee you, they would have faced many storms before. In the midst of them trying to do their best in their exercise, they're professional people, they know what they're doing, yet it's not working. Can I tell you that in the midst where your gift doesn't seem to be getting it done, the very thing that you need to actually get back to is, God, I need to have you come and speak to me. And as they went to him in the boat, they found him asleep. He gets up. Do any of you have like the movie playing in your head? In my mind, that's how it rolls. And I can just imagine him just kind of getting up and looking around. The disciples, like, sheer horror. Like, we are going to die. And he's like, "Oh, peace, be still." Why? Because what was happening on the inside? See, he slowed the conversation down on the inside. He was in tune with what the Holy Spirit was leading him on the inside that actually affected and allowed it to manifest on the outside. You actually, when you walk into scenarios and situations at work, at wherever it is, you have the ability to shift the atmosphere as long as the atmosphere inside of you is rock solid. I've been in more meetings than I can really remember. And there are times where I walk into a meeting and I'm like, like just got so many things running through my head. I've literally had to, of recent times, I step into a room and I have to I need to step out for a minute. Okay. God, you're for me? See, one of the best ways to actually get the internal right is to remember God's nature. You want to find where he is? Remind yourself of his nature because he'll be where his nature is. So I sit there and I go, okay, God, nothing stresses you out because you're ultimately in control. And I trust you, so I'm not going to allow something I hear, something I see, stress me out. I'm going to trust you. Now, I know it's easy said. I get it. But actually, what I've found is I'm actually looking for where he is. And I stay in step with where he is. See, for some of us, we hear the word that's on our life or the word that's on our church or the word that's happened or whatever it may be, and we go, I know it's going to happen. And we try and make this thing happen. I'm going to get it done. If you could get it done, you probably would have already got it done. But actually, what I've found is I hear the word, and then all of a sudden, I find myself somewhere totally different than I ever imagined. I'm like, God, why are you leading me over here? This is making no sense to what I just received. And he's going, I know that, but I need to build something in you first so that when we get to that point, you'll be able to stand. And I have to trust that he knows what he's doing. That he still knows how to put a destiny, a plan, a life together. That he actually has my best interest at heart. That he actually wants to see the kingdom of God advanced through my life. You know, those disciples really had one thing that they really did well. Is in the midst, when everything was going pear-shaped, they remembered that they had the Son of God with them. And so they went, God, we tried this, we've tried this many times. We know how to do this. We've tried to sail this way. We've tried to organize this way. We've tried to offload stuff, but just nothing we seem to do is working. So what do you suppose we do? Actually, in the midst of a storm, the best thing that you can do is just run to him. I find myself in the car like, oh, Jesus, I don't know what to do. I don't know the answer to this situation. I don't know the answer to this problem. How is this going to work? Okay, I'm going to cast all of my cares on you and I'm going to just sit and rest in your goodness. I'm going to sit and I'm going to rest and I'm going to trust that you have got this all sorted. Because at the moment, it feels like you don't, but I'm going to trust that you do. I'm not going to allow the external environment rob me of the promise that you promised me right there. I'm not going to allow that. That is non-negotiable. So I'm going to trust when you say to move, I trust that you are going to say what to say, how to say it, what to do, where to go, how to do it. I trust that you are going to make that clear. For some of us in this season, it's actually a time where we need to just get with him. And I know we do. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I know we do. But actually, some of us, our mind keeps going. Some of us, we haven't slept because when our head hits the pillow, our mind just kind of kicks into overdrive. That is the very moment to practice slowing down time. It's the very moment to say, okay, Jesus, I trust you. I'm going to cast all of these worries and concerns on you. And look, it may take you a few times to do it. Because here's the reality of what we do. We go, God, I cast all my cares on you. I cast them. But I'll just grab that one. I'm sure we've got a way out. I'm sure. No, I can't. It may take you 15 times to do that. Oh, but hang on, I've got an idea. I've just had an idea. I'll tell you, this is going to work. Oh, it doesn't. Okay, I cast it on you. This is what we do. I'll leave that there. Verse 38 says that they woke him and they said to him, we don't know what to do, but we know you do. In moments, in scenarios, in situations in your life where you don't know what to do, he does. He'll sustain you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You know, for some of us, the year was looking a certain way, and now it's like, hang on, what's happening? What's going on? I don't know if that's actually what I'm supposed to do now. Can I just tell you? Just keep moving forward. Go with what he has said. Keep moving forward. For those of you that are doing Pneuma School of the Spirit, keep your hand to the plow. Keep moving forward. For those of you that have seen God say this and say that, see, one of the greatest tools of the enemy is to distract. is that he'll put a scenario in a situation that'll come about, and all of a sudden you're going one way and then you're like, whoa, I didn't see that happening. What am I going to do? Okay, put my hand back to the plow. What is it that God has entrusted to you this season? Maybe it's school of the Spirit. Then put your hand to that. If it's ministry, in whatever way that looks like for you, put your hand to the plow and do it. The storm doesn't dictate what he's actually entrusted to you. You actually just need to hold it and keep moving forward. I have the team come and join me. I'm pretty well nearly done. See, when storms hit, the question is, what do you run to? There's this interesting thing that happens that when human beings are in pain, the very first thing that they often go towards and run to is a form of pleasure. And so they'll run to it because they need to escape from the pain that they're feeling. And for many of us, in times of uncertainty and pain, what we tend to do is we go to the thing that used to bring us some form of pleasure, even momentarily. Did I say that right? Thank you, Tom. We run to it. But oftentimes that thing that gives us a moment of pleasure, unfortunately, doesn't sustain any substance to it, and it leaves us feeling empty and we're left back in the same pain. And so what we tend to do is we go back to it again to feel some form of instant pleasure, and it's like it's all going to be okay, and then we're back in the same spot again and we go back and forth. For some of us, it's alcohol. For some of us, it's sex. For some of us, it's pornography. For some of us, it's just, I don't want to feel like this anymore, so I just need something to numb the pain. But actually, Jesus says, hey, if you come to me and if you give it to me, I will actually give you something that satisfies. I don't know what it is that you run to, but I'm convinced that as you run to him, I'm not saying that it's all going to be sunshine and rainbows, but I am saying that what you taste will satisfy.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.